Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is the recent TSA Administrator, Peter Neffinger. So I'm thinking about passenger volume mitigation efforts, but what I'd like to focus in on is what is being done to increase TSA pre-check enrollment, and what do you see as the future of pre-check?
Well, I think, first of all, known travelers is the future of risk-reduced travel. So to the extent that somebody's willing to provide information about themselves, you can significantly reduce my concern about you, significantly reduce the risk that you could potentially pose, and you allow the agency to focus more on the people it doesn't know anything about. So that's the most, that's the first and foremost thing. When I came in, we were at about a pre-check population of about 1.5 million people. And then there were other trusted travel programs like Global Entry and the like that brought the total up to around 4 or 5 million. First and foremost, we started advertising again. It turns out advertising is really critical. People actually forget things. It's not intuitive. So we put effort back into advertising. We reconnected with U.S. Travel Association, the airlines and others, said, hey, is there a way to offer use of miles, use of points, use of whatever on your various travel reward programs. So all the major airlines now offer you the ability to cash in miles. They advertise for us as well on their in-flight videos, in their books and magazines. And then we work with the current vendor, Morpho Trust, to provide more both mobile enrollment sites, more pop-up enrollment sites, and more enrollment sites in general, to provide opportunities. We streamlined the online form so that you can get, basically you can get almost everything done except the fingerprints well in advance. We increased the number of, all that says, it was just a pain to get to. I mean, so we had to make it easier and more accessible and reduce the number of steps to get to the end. So we've got enrollment now up at around, I want to say it's a little over 4 million now in pre-check, but trusted traveler enrollment, because there was a net benefit to Global Entry as well. So we're around 12 million now in trusted travel programs, as opposed to about 4 million a year ago. So that's pretty good. There's a lot more that we could go. But if you think about, if you identify a frequent traveler as somebody who travels 3 or more times a year, we think that being in a program like pre-check pays for itself. It's $85 for 5 years.
For 5 years?
Yeah. So $17 a year.
That's not bad at all. Yeah. So how do you work with your global TSA counterparts in other countries, if you will, the equivalent, and collaborate with them in the aviation domain? Are there common challenges faced? Are there unique challenges? How do you deal with it?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And that's the other thing that really that in retrospect I shouldn't have been surprised to discover, but the extent to which you need to collaborate globally. It is a global system by definition. Airplanes go all over the world, and whether they're our airplanes or somebody else's airplanes, they're everywhere, and people travel all over the world. So it's not enough to secure your own system. You've got to get the whole system secure, and you got to talk to one another. And global consistency is critical. We're not, in my opinion, where we need to be globally in terms of consistent application of security standards. And I think that sentiment would be echoed by my counterparts. So I spent a lot of time this past couple of years around the world, traveling to my counterparts, attending the various international conferences, the International Civil Aviation Organization, both the General Assembly as well as meeting with their Security Council, and then meeting with my counterparts at the European Commission in various countries around the world. So I've actually made about, I want to say it's like 18 or 19 international trips since I've been in here.
What lessons, is there like a forum or how do you collect lessons learned from your counterparts?
Well, it's interesting. So TSA, prior to my arrival, had established these interesting international groups that would bring together key partners from around the world. So key European partners as a group with the key European partners, as a group with the key Asian partners and others. What I've tried to do since I've been there is take advantage of those existing groups and then expand the scope of their interests and then expand the membership of it to entities beyond just us. I mean, you need the carriers in there, you need the airports and the like. And then to say, again, I go back to what I said before about, the best systems are ones in which you try to let each other succeed. What you say is instead of telling people what they aren't doing right, talk to them about what we can do together, and then share vulnerabilities. So we started by saying, let me tell you what. So I took forward the thing that went wrong with us, and I said, let me tell you what went wrong with us and the lessons we learned, and see if that's any, if that's helpful to you. And what I found is that people were very receptive to that. They said, thank you. You know, we've been wondering. We read the news too, and we were hoping somebody would talk to us. And what I found is that people started opening up to us about, you know, actually that could have been us. Talk to us about, you know, we could have had the same problems. Maybe we can start sharing. So I've been really pleased. What I find is that there's a huge, think about it. I mean, nobody wants to have their systems attacked. There's a huge demand for lessons learned, for best practices, and for ways to do it. I'm really excited by the UN Security Council resolution that was passed in the fall. So I was really, it was wonderful. I got a chance to be there for the vote. UN Security Council Resolution 2309. It's the first ever Security Council resolution specifically focused on global aviation security. And that's huge. Now, the words themselves aren't surprising, but the fact that you have a body like the Security Council, unanimous, yeah. no abstentions, no veto obviously, but no abstentions, unanimous resolution, that's a hugely powerful foundation to bring people together. And we're finding that there's this global demand now to get together to figure out how do we do that.
So, you know, as you look back, what are some of the, and you may have just mentioned a couple of them, but I wanted, before we close, I wanted to get a sense of your key accomplishments during your tenure. Can you highlight some of them?
Well, I think the TSA Academy, first and foremost. I mean, I'm so proud of the team that put that together. You know, the other thing I think leaders do, if you pay attention, you give people permission to do great things. So that's the part of getting out of the way. I just say, you have permission. You know, leaders can keep things from happening, but I think your job is to let things happen. Let things happen in a direction that you need to go, that's tied to a strategy and an idea, but then just let them roll with it. It's because going back to, you'd be surprised what people can do if you leave them alone and just give them some general guidance. So the TSA Academy, I think, is the thing that TSA should be proudest of, because it will transform the agency. Second, the UN Security Council resolution. We were privileged enough to help co-sponsor that. The UK presented it, but we were a co-sponsor. I know that I had staff that did a lot of work behind the scenes on helping to shape that and to work that globally. That's huge. And that's a true community of nations that came together to say, we got to do something about this. I'm really proud of the frontline workforce and what they accomplished this last year. I mean, those guys, remember, think about it. These people take an oath of office. They do. They take an oath to do one of the hardest jobs in the country, and they do it every day willingly and enthusiastically. And that is the other surprise, was to rediscover how really talented that workforce is. I mean, it's a wonderful workforce, and they love what they do, and they love public service. And I think they pulled off a transformation this last summer. I mean, there's a reason why we were able to reduce the long line waits over the summer without reducing security effectiveness. We let them do their job.
So two final questions. One is about, see, that was sort of looking out. Yeah. Of what you've done. I want you to think about the future. And what I'm getting at is, what do you see as the greatest threats or challenges facing TSA over the next few years?
Great question. Let me put it into three basic buckets. Mm-hmm. The evolving threat, mm-hmm. and it really is evolving. I would say it's probably one of the more dynamic periods I've ever seen. So staying ahead of that, you know, whether it's the traditional things that we think about with respect to terrorists or these unpredictable kinds of things that we've been seeing. San Bernardino and Omar Martin down at the Pulse nightclub and so forth. That's one piece of it. Second is the very challenging federal budget environment. You know, I understand all the reasons for it, but when you're working on continuing resolutions year after year, when you get, you know, 3-month funding, 4-month funding, 6-month funding, it can be very difficult to do the kind of strategic planning for your budget that you need to do when you're in the kind of business like we are, where you need to continuously evolve your system. The planning horizon for that is challenging. I think probably the third bucket would be the need to transform the system while operating the current system and getting buy-in for that, because going back to that second point about the federal budget, it's an expensive business. You know, I mean, we all wish we didn't have to do what we do for security, but we do for the time being. It's expensive. People like to not have to buy those things more often, but you've got to evolve at the speed of threat, not at the speed of obsolescence, you know, if that makes sense.
So what advice, sir, would you give to somebody who's thinking about a career in public service?
I would say, look, I've spent almost 40 years in public service. I'm truly a child of the years in which we were asked not what the country could do for you, but what you could do for your country, as old and idealistic as that may sound. And I don't think there's any more rewarding career, first and foremost. Find the thing that – find a passion and then think about adding value back. It's like, you know, what do they always say? Public service is the rent you pay for your time here on Earth.
Well, thank you for coming in. I know you're
no,
very
thank you.
Busy.
This is wonderful. Thanks for your interest.
And I want to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, and I've never regretted a minute of it. And this has been – this time with TSA has been truly one of the privileges of my career. It's a great mission, great people, and they will have my eternal respect and thanks.
Great. Thank you, sir. This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Peter Neffinger, the recent TSA administrator. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.